right. Let's open our Bibles for our devotion tonight to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 9. I was telling Brother Russell earlier, I was planning on continuing on in our study in 1 Corinthians. It seems like it's been forever because of circumstances that we've been there. Just kind of need another week to just kind of let that sink and soak and meditate on that and continue to study with that. So I thought we would look at a very beautiful and poignant passage in Matthew chapter 9 and beginning in verse 35, a passage no doubt that is very familiar to all of us and reminds us of things that I think we all already know. And that is the mercy and compassion of Jesus. And I want to tell you, church family, it's good for us to remind ourselves of things that we already know. It's good to remind ourselves about the Lord Jesus and His great compassion, because He's shown us compassion and He's shown us mercy. And so we need to see this. And then, too, as we read this passage together, let us also ask ourselves, do we feel this compassion toward other people? And so here is Matthew 9 and verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We'll stop there for a moment. We do see this as the pattern of Jesus, right? So he travels, and everywhere he goes, he shows mercy and compassion. And unlike the fake, false miracle workers of our day, Jesus actually really did heal people. In fact, he healed people when they, the lame could walk, the blind really could see, and the deaf really could hear, and the lepers were cleansed, the dead really were raised. These were signs, and of course, as you know, as our walk through John has reminded us, these were signs to point to his divinity, that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was a man not just of miracles, but one with a message, and that message, of course, is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. What is that? Well, of course, it is gospel. It is good news. And that good news is that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come. The Messiah has arrived. King Jesus stands before them. He is God in skin, God in flesh, God in person. And he brought a kingdom. The kingdom of God has indeed come. We are in this age of the already and not yet. We have not yet experienced the fullness of Christ's kingdom. He is the King, and he brought a kingdom, and his miracles, signs, wonders, and teachings were all a part of that gospel, that kingdom advance. And we have seen, and just a cursory look, don't have to take a deep dive this evening, but just even a cursory look over, you go back to chapter 8 and chapter 9. And, even if you just look at the headings, and, most of us probably have a New King James with us, since that's what I read out of, or you have one of the Pew Bibles. But you go back to chapter 8, right, in verse 1, you see Jesus, he cleanses a leper. Lepers who everybody else was afraid of. And then Jesus goes, and he cleanses the leper. What's this teach us? Of course, Jesus has power over sickness. We see the same with Peter's mother-in-law is healed. We see a next heading in verse 16, many are healed in the evening. And we see in chapter 8 and beginning in verse 23 that even the winds and the waves obey Jesus. What's it show us? Well, he has power over disease, and he has power over even creation. And you drop down a little bit to verse 28 in chapter 8, you see that Jesus has power over the demons. Jesus has power in chapter 9 to heal a paralytic. And then we see in chapter 9 in verse 9, Jesus has the power to call out even the most, in that culture, in that time, even the most hideous of sinners, right? The tax collectors, those who sided with Rome and sided against their own people and extorted people and took advantage of people and were in many ways sort of like, you know, like our modern mafia almost, right? Gangsters and that kind of thing. And the Lord calls out Levi, he calls out Matthew to be his disciple. You come and follow me. And Matthew, of course, does. He has power over miracles. He has power over creation. He has power over demons. And he has power over man. He is indeed the Son of God. And this pattern was repeated from town to town and village to village as the Son of God went and brought his message and miracles to the region. He healed every disease among the people, going back to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And then I want to show us in verse 36 this beautiful reminder. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And it is just, I think, a helpful gut check for all of us. When you see a multitude of people, how do you think about them, right? What do you think and what do you feel? And I would just remind you, because it's kind of fresh in my mind and maybe fresh on your mind, right? John chapter 6, when Jesus saw the crowds coming, you know, he didn't scream at them and yell at them and say, you know, you people, get away from me. Jesus showed compassion for them as well. And, you know, treated them like they were sheep without a shepherd and provided for them. And, brethren, it's a good reminder for us that when we look at the mass of humanity, that we want to do so with the eyes of Jesus. And this is very simple, right? We need to be reminded that God has a form of love for all people. He loves all people. We recognize that God has a chosen people whom Christ came to save and whom the Spirit of God will call out in due time. But we need to look at the mass of humanity and we need to ask the Lord to give us grace to look at them with compassion. And I would just remind you that there are most likely folks in this, you know, mass of people that, you know, Jesus is looking at who might be associated with, you know, the Pharisees or scribes or Sadducees. You know, the Sadducees who did not believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in resurrection. Those Pharisees, if you go back, was it chapter 5, who were beginning to plot his death, right? And remember, our Lord told them, you know, I say these things to you so that you might be saved. And there were probably people in that mass of humanity who were sort of like Levi and or Zacchaeus, you know, and they were jerks and they were thieves and extortioners and they took advantage of people. And there might have been some folks in the crowd like Mary Magdalene, right, who, you know, was under demonic influence and lived certainly a very immoral lifestyle. There were all kinds of folks with all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of sins. Here our Lord is looking at the crowd with compassion. And that is, I think, a helpful gut check for me. And it might be for you as well. Because sometimes when I'm watching the news or if I'm just going about the ebb and flow of life, I don't always feel compassion. Sometimes I feel like, what's the matter with you people? You know? And we need to be reminded of our Lord Jesus, the only one who was without sin. And he could look at a massive crowd of people and have compassion on them, like they were sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. And so we can see here our Lord sort of using, he was a master at this, right? A master at this. Jesus could use the scene of that day to draw an amazing analogy, whether it's, you know, at a well, at Sychar, or, you know, by a grapevine saying, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And maybe here we have an open field, right? An open field, and it's ready to be harvested. And the Lord says, you know, the harvest is plentiful. There's more than enough harvest out there. The harvest is not the issue. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so what our Lord is always calling us to do is calling us to be gospel laborers. And of course, as the body of Christ, we do this collectively. There are those who are laboring among us and using their homes for that and using their jobs for that and using sometimes Facebook for that and looking for open doors. There are those that our church sends out, like Brother Martin, for example, in Spain, who is a gospel harvester there across the way in Spain. As a congregation, we pray that the Lord would use us to be laborers for that massive harvest. When I was in seminary, one of the most powerful sermons I ever heard, and I forget the gentleman's name, and that's okay, because I think he'd probably want me to forget his name, but he preached a sermon called Ekbalo, and that is the Greek word we see in this next verse. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out Ekbalo. It's a, and he pointed out, this is a very strong word of the Lord forcing, sending. You know, it's a word of having the Lord's hands on your back, pushing you out into the harvest field. Beseech the Lord, pray to the Lord that He would send out the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest field. And I remember him asking for laborers to come into the hard places. His ministry had missionaries they sent into the hard places of the world, very rural, remote villages, unreached people groups. One of them, by the way, was actually in Mexico, but it was an area of the country that was really under siege from drug lords. And as far as I understand, that's only increased and gotten worse since then. But he told the entire seminary body he was gathered, I'm praying for the Lord of the harvest to send some of you out and you might never come back. And it was pretty grave and dead serious and earnest and impactful, because we are reminded that in this world there are many wolves and there are many dangers and there are many threats. And yet in the midst of that, our Lord sends out laborers into that massive harvest field. So tonight, you know, we always pray for our lost loved ones, and praise God for that. And we pray, you know, for our community and for our country. And we should, you know, probably be more faithful to pray for our missionaries by name. And we want to be praying for them that the Lord would send them out to the harvest field. And we can also ask the Lord to use us. You know, if you have a lost loved one in your life, that would be an instance where you can pray the Lord would use, you know, you to be a gospel witness. But just briefly, I just wanted to mention that I love the way the Lord does this. He takes the mission field and He makes them the missionary. And you can see that in chapter 10 as our Lord calls out none other than Matthew himself. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, etc. And so our Lord is the Lord of the harvest, and He sends out laborers into the harvest. And so, brethren, let us go out into this world that Christ providentially placed us into, and let us seek opportunities to be laborers. And let us look at the masses, not with contempt. You know, I think we're all tempted to do that. But let us rather look at the world the way Jesus does, with compassion, with compassion. And so, Lord, we pray for grace to do that. We pray You'd help us. We confess that, you know, we can so easily become bitter or frustrated with the world that we live in, that we all recognize is increasingly coming under the sway of secularism and anti-God, anti-Christian worldviews. And we're in the midst of this month celebrated by the world as Pride Month and all the wickedness that comes with that. And we pray You'd help us, even in the midst of those things, even calling that sin and evil and wrong, that even in the midst of that, we would also have the compassion of heart for this world. And use us, Lord, we pray. And we pray for more open doors for gospel conversations with friends and loved ones and neighbors and, you know, co-workers and every avenue that You open up. And then we'd also pray for those ministries that we've been involved with for years, some of which have been closed for a couple of years because of because of COVID. And we would certainly pray that those avenues would open up again. We think especially of FCI. And we pray for new doors that you've opened up, ministering at the Assisted Living Center and perhaps other places that my brother Artie has pointed out, a rehab center that needs gospel workers. And we would certainly want to be open and praying about the possibility, even though we recognize that's a hard place and that's a place that needs compassion. We pray, Lord, that if that's an avenue that you'd want us to pursue, that you would send out laborers into that harvest field, and that we would work that harvest. And Lord, we pray for our congregation, again, send us out. And also, Lord, we would certainly pray that you would send us laborers to come here and work through our body, and that we'd co-labor together to reach the massive harvest field that's right here, right around us. So help us in these ways, we ask. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.